To all God's children, grace and peace be with you today from Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, a couple of weeks ago at our Tuesday prayer hour, I asked some of our people what kinds of things they're wrestling with in their lives. And one person said very quickly, getting older. And so I suspect that that is not something just faced by that person, but by many of you. And so I wanted to talk about, I thought we could spend a Sunday taking a look at that together today. What's the Bible say about getting older? What's God say to his people about aging? How is aging different for a Christian versus for an unbeliever? What is God, is there any good news that God has for us about the aging process? Well, today let's look at that in the scriptures, getting older. What's God have say to us about coming towards the end of our earthly life? What can we say? Well, first off, aging is a reality that many people, most people, just don't want to face. It may happen to other people, but it's not going to happen to me. And isn't this also in Scripture? I believe it is. We can take a look at Psalm 10. There we read, "The wicked boasts of the desires of his heart, and the man greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his countenance, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Thy judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs at them. He thinks in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity." And isn't that true with us with respect to the aging process? Throughout all generations, I shall not be moved. I shall never meet adversity. I'm not going to grow old. That's for other people. And even though that's a ridiculous notion, I think somewhere in our hearts we cherish that idea that secretly we think we will never grow old. That's just for the other guy. Throughout all generations, I shall not be moved. And don't we see this everywhere in our culture? Do you know that our culture today, I believe, basically worships youth, young skin, pretty faces, and all that kind of stuff? Think of all the songs that there are for teenagers and young people, or any people these days, about teenagers singing, "We're never going to grow old. We're going to be young forever, forever young. Tonight is our night, tonight is our night, tonight is our night, tonight is our night. 17 more times, tonight is our night. We'll be wild and free." Think also of how teenagers are now our heroes in a lot of movies. Think of how almost every woman over 35 now wants Botox, a facelift, or lose X number of pounds. Men want six-pack abs. Think of how often young people mock the olds as if they're not going to become old themselves. Well, they mock the thing that they are to be. Everyone ages, age happens. We all eventually get old. Amen? Thought I'd get a more enthusiastic response from you guys as I look around at the congregation. So the world, and generally we ourselves, cherish somewhere in our hearts, especially when we're young, in the secret places and chambers of our souls, that we'll never grow old, that's for somebody else. Throughout all generations, I'll not meet adversity. But over against this experience, and God in the Bible puts squarely before our eyes, and before the eyes of the youth of our days, mortality. The fact that we all do age, and we all do grow old. And any way you slice it, life is but for a brief moment. It's very short. Let's settle that in our minds today by God's word. Consider what James says in the Bible here. James chapter 4, verse 13, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll trade, we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and get gain, whereas you don't know about tomorrow. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Am I looking at a congregation of mist this morning? Are you looking at mist in the pulpit? Hopefully not. Hopefully it's clear. But we're all just like steam coming off the top of a coffee cup in the morning. Here one moment, gone the next. Peter says in his letter, quoting the Old Testament, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord abides forever. You find that to be true? We are ultimately like flesh. Consider all the beauties who cover the magazine covers today, like young beauties like this, Naomi and Beth got for me. Vanity Fair. Well named, by the way, after Pilgrim's Progress. Young people everywhere, young skin, young faces, pretty this and pretty that. I want to ask you a question. Where will all the young faces that cover our magazine covers today be in 20, 30, 40 years? Here's your answer. Not on magazine covers. All flesh is like grass. What if you were to go to a young person today and say, tell me, who was Betty Grable? Who was Elizabeth Taylor, Olivia de Havilland? They'll say, who? Never heard of them. What if you go 20 or 30 years into the future and you ask a youth then, who was Jennifer Aniston? Or who was Kate Middleton or Penelope Cruz? They'll say, who? Never heard of them. Why? They'll be replaced by prettier, younger faces because all flesh is like grass. And all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers. The flower falls. It gets old, wears out. But the word of the Lord abides forever, forever young. So David therefore says, Lord, let me know my end. This is Psalm 39. And what's the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting my life is. Surely every man stands as a mere breath. Do you believe that today? Say amen. Amen. We all age. Amen?
Amen.
And we all die. That fact God puts squarely before our eyes today, and even before the eyes of the youth, if they'll but take heed. And Moses says in Psalm 90, therefore, teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. So now my next question. Where does aging come from? Why can't we just be young forever? Why do we have to get old? What's the origin of aging? Well, you know, scientists don't really know why we age. The body's actually always regenerating itself. Did you know that? Your lungs are only 6 weeks old. They've been regenerated. They're constantly putting new cells in, replacing the old. Your taste buds are only 10 days old. Your bones are only 10 years old. Your liver is new every 45 days. That's why you can cut out a big portion of your liver and 90% of it can grow back within 2 months. Your body's always regenerating itself. Every 7 years, you get basically a whole new body. Why then do we age? Good question. Answer is originally sin. It's part of the curse. Going back to Genesis, we read that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. He said, you shall not eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. And Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and death began to be at work in them. The curse began to be at work in them. And what was God's judgment upon Adam in Genesis chapter 3? He says, in the sweat of your face, Adam, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And therefore we all return to dust because of the judgment against sin. Death is at work in us, in our bodies. Therefore we age. Got it? Okay, but now the next question is, why does it have to be so hard, though? Isn't it supposed to be my golden years? Why is it met and fraught with so many difficulties and troubles? Indeed, there are many blessings to old age, to be sure. Absolutely. But in many ways, it is no fun. In many ways, as I think many of you can attest and have attested to me. What's not fun about it? Number one, consider this in Genesis 27. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son, and he answered him, here I am. And remember, Jacob comes in and tricks his dad because his eyesight has grown dim. He can't see. They don't work anymore. And Jacob steals Esau's blessing. So what happens when you get older? Your eyes begin to wear out for a lot of us. Secondly, let's look at Proverbs 20, verse 29. Here we read, the glory of young men is their strength, but the beauty of old men is their gray hair. And I'll tell you what, I see a lot of beauty out there today. For those of you who still have hair, Dan Gardy is the only one who is immune to this. His hair is perpetually full. The beauty of old men is their gray hair, but the glory of young men is their strength. How many of you would like to trade some of your gray hair for some strength? I think all of us men would like to do that. But your eyesight goes, your strength goes, then your teeth go, then your knees go, then your sex drive goes. How sad that is, too. Do you know that that's in the Bible? Let's take a look at 1 Kings chapter 1. Now David was old and advanced in years, and although they covered him with clothes, he could not get warm. That word in the King James I love, it says, he got no heat. So his servants decided to search through the kingdom and find the prettiest, hottest young babe and bring her to the king so he can get some heat. Her name is Abishag, the Shunammite, and they brought her to the king. Verse 4, the maiden was very beautiful, and she became the king's nurse and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. Translation for those words is the king didn't have sex with her. Now, this is, get this, the same David who just a few years before couldn't stop himself with Bathsheba, though she was another man's wife, committed adultery because of his lust and her beauty. And now you get the hottest girl in the entire kingdom, young and fresh and beautiful, give her to the king in bed, and he still got no heat. Okay? So the sex drive tends to dwindle, which reminds me of the story, actually, I read of a nursing home where there's an elderly old lady who's walking about, strutting up and down the halls, flipping the hem of her nightgown, saying, super sex, super sex. To which a man in the wheelchair looking up said, super sex, I guess I'll take the soup. So you lose your eyesight, your strength goes, your eyes, your knees, your teeth, your sex drive goes. You lose your friends. Often they die before you. You know you're getting old when you say things like this. You know, today I feel like I'm 60 again. And in general, I think it can be summed up by this statement I read. One said, sure, I've gotten old. I've had 2 bypass surgeries, a hip replacement, new knees, prostate cancer, and diabetes. I'm half blind. I can't hear anything quieter than a jet engine. Take pills 40 times a day, which make me have blackouts. I have poor circulation. I can't remember if I'm 95 or 85. I've lost all my friends, but at least I still have my driver's license. So, getting old is, in a lot of ways, not fun, although also filled with many blessings, but in a lot of ways, not fun. What good news, though, does God have for his people? What word and truth does he have about the aging process for Christians? Is there any good news? The answer is absolutely yes. And what is it? Number one, remember that your growing old is totally different from the growing old of an unbeliever. For you are drawing near to your reward for seeing God face to face. The God who loves you and has saved you in Christ. And that is great news. It says in Philippians 4, Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed, Romans 13. 1 Thessalonians 5, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have much to look forward to, great excitement and anticipation. Friends, you are drawing near to your reward, to your destiny, to the city set on a hill, to innumerable angels in festal gathering, to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to the Lamb, and to the God who loved you and saved you in Christ, and nearer to seeing his face. As David says in Psalm 17, as for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness when I awake. I shall be satisfied with beholding thy form. And it says in Revelation 14, Blessed are those who die in the Lord henceforth. Blessed indeed, says the Holy Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. You're drawing nearer to your reward and to that day of the coming of our Lord Jesus, when he'll create a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. What a totally different way of aging than for an unbeliever. That's why going to a believer's funeral is so fantastic. Although it's sad for us here, it is their homecoming party. They're entering their reward and their Savior. But how this stands apart so starkly and so gravely from the aging process of an unbeliever who has nothing to look forward to and no hope. For we read in Ecclesiastes, I think Ecclesiastes 12 really captures well the life of an unbeliever at the end. It says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come. And the years draw nigh, and you'll say, I have no pleasure in them. I'll skip through here. And the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few. And all the daughters of song are brought low, and they are afraid of what is high, and terrors are in the way. And the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Ah, it's so depressing. Even just read that about the death, really, of an unbeliever who has nothing to look forward to. Jesus says, well, let me just say, what does it await the unbeliever? It is, if he continues in his life without Christ, what awaits him is the grave, and after that, the judgment, and after that, fire and darkness, where Jesus says, men will weep and gnash their teeth. And I would say long for a day when they could see the Son of Man and stand before him and plead their cause. But Jesus says in Luke 13, when once the householder has risen up and shut the doors, you'll begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. And he'll answer you, I do not know where you come from. And such is the end of all those who've lived for the flesh, for from the flesh they will reap corruption. But for us who sow to the Spirit, you're entering into your reward, the joy of it, the face of Christ, the fruit of your labors, a world of light and joy in the kingdom. And therefore, for a Christian, growing older is met with great anticipation and excitement because your race is nearly finished and that imperishable wreath lies just ahead. Which leads us to point number two I'd like to make with you today. Your race is not finished yet. Say that. My race is not finished yet. Therefore, do not lay down your weapons. Do not slacken your pace. And do not leave off diligence and vigilance and put aside your drive. For there is much yet to be gained and accomplished and avoided. For remember, your enemy, the devil, is pursuing after you. And he's not slackened his pace, but pursues like a ravening and roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:7. And there's but little time left for you, precious little, to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where there is no rust or thief to steal it or fade. Now here's the danger, isn't it? You can say amen if you agree here. Wait till I say the statement though. For retirees, men and women who've retired from their jobs. I'm retired. I have nothing more left to do in life. It's just, I'll say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Would you say that that's a temptation for retired persons? God says to such a person, fool, be rich toward God. There's much yet to be accomplished for you. Otherwise, why has God left you here if he has nothing left for you to do? That's the temptation when we're retired and old, isn't it? I'm not retired yet. A lot of you are. But it's the temptation is to start to think like you're old and to think, I'm done, I've finished my work, I've come to the end of my life, there's nothing left for me to do but to enjoy what I can and wait for the end. I want to tell you something. That's rubbish. That's not a Christian's talk. That's the talk of a sin-darkened, ignorant world that doesn't know what it's talking about. Not the talk of the living, breathing, vibrant Christian soldier, which soldier you are. There's much to be gained and victories to be won and accomplished. Otherwise, God, why has God left you here? Just imagine if you're running a marathon and you've run 25 miles. You got 1 mile left to go, and finally you go, I think I'll stop and sit over here at the cafe and sip a smoothie instead of running on for the blue ribbon. How foolish that would be. Well, we're running a race. And one of my favorite poems when I was a boy was Ulysses, about Odysseus, from Lord Alfred Tennyson. Let me quote to you a little bit there. Ulysses is an old man. He's fought in the great Trojan War, and he's speaking to his old comrades in arms who are now old with him. And I think this fits well for a Christian. He says, men, how dull it is to pause, to make an end, to rust unburnished and not to shine in use as though to breathe were life. Death closes all of us, but something ere the end. Some work of noble note may yet be done, not in becoming men that strove with gods. To which I say to you, what kind of noble work may yet be done by you who have striven like Jacob with God? As long as you're here, great accomplishments await you. Don't you hear God's bugle today? Do you hear it? Da-da-da-da-da. Many elderly I've met say, I have nothing left for me to do. Why doesn't God just take me? I have nothing to do. Well, do you ever entertain this thought? Maybe you're wrong. Maybe God has something left for you here to do. Otherwise, why has he left you here? A victory yet to be won. When I was in college, I did an adopt-a-grandparent program. Fred A. Finkbeiner was my guy. I met him each week at the nursing home. 98 years old. He says, the guy you see today, Greg, is not the guy you'd see 2 years ago when I was 96. Till I was 96, I was a grumpy old man. I was cynical. I scowled at the nurses. They all hated me. I was in pain, and I was just plain depressed. He says, and one day, though, I just looked at my life. I said, is this how I want to live out the rest of my days? And you know what? He changed. And when I met him, he was the brightest, shining guy. He was on the go, doing good to all. You couldn't stop him, a smile on his face. And before he died, he said, I want to learn to play the piano and how great thou art. And guess what? He did. Moses began his chief life of work of his life at 80. Abraham started his life, promised life with his son at 100. Noah went into the ark, into the boat, in the hopes of a new world at 600. And friends, if you think you have no work left on this earth for you to do, you take that up with God, but leave me out of it. Rather, I say to you, as did Ulysses of old, there lies the port. The vessel puffs her sea. The vessel puffs her sail. There gloom the dark, broad seas. 'Tis not too late to seek a newer world. Push off, and sitting a wall in order, smite the sounding furrows, for my purpose holds to sail beyond the sunset and all the bows of the western stars until I die. We're to press on toward the goal, friends. Point 3, remember, God has honored and blessed your latter years and clothed you with splendor. As it is written in Proverbs 16, a white head is a crown of glory. It's gained in a righteous life. Psalm 91, with long life I will satisfy him or her and show him or her my salvation. Point 4, your days and your years, I want you to know, are in his hand. David says, even when he was in the womb, God saw his unformed substance. In his book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Oh, how precious to me are thy thoughts, O God. When I awake, I'm still with thee. God knows the number and the days of your years and blesses you. Know that in truth, point 5, God has actually reversed the curse of aging in you. Say that, reverse the curse. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, he says, we do not lose heart. Say that, we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed every day, says Paul. Our outer is wasting, our inner is getting younger. Aging is from sin, according to the Bible. And our bodies, therefore, are still aging. But Christ has redeemed us by dying for our sins on the cross, rose again, removed the curse, forgiven you and given you eternal life. And that life is already in you and your spirits. Though your bodies are still aging until the day of the resurrection, your spirits have been born again, buried and raised in baptism, and every day you're in Christ and in his word, you're getting younger and younger and younger. Jesus is the fountain of life. Do you believe that? Do you know that of the old it said in Psalm 92, the righteous flourish like the palm tree? They still bring forth fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And as for the weakness of our flesh, which you feel as we age, we know that this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And even our bodies, which now wear out for a time like an old car, will rise again at the resurrection at the last day like this. Paul says, what is sown is perishable, it's raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a physical body, it's raised a spiritual body. And God says to you now, in your present weakness, Isaiah 46, hearken to me, O house of Jacob. You have been born by me from your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. And to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made you, and I will bear you. I will carry you, and I will save you. Isn't that a great word for you today? Where then is our hope and glory and joy to be found in old age? The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Savior. For Jesus himself entered into the aging process. He started in his mother's womb. He was born. He grew up. He got to be 30 years of old. He ministered for 3 years. He died at 33 on the cross. He rose again, conquered the grave, gave you victory. And now that same God says to you, fear not, I'm the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. Therefore, don't be afraid. Your youth, your beauty, your strength will be restored to you, returned, and multiplied to you at my coming. For Jesus is the fountain of life. The one who believes in him, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. That's the Holy Spirit. We're to press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And therefore, I'll conclude today with the words of Ulysses in that great poem as he spoke to his comrades in arms about to set out again into the deep, into a new adventure. He said, men, it may be that the gulfs will wash us down. It may be that we shall touch the happy isles and see the great Achilles whom we knew. Though much is taken, much abides. And though we are not now the strength which in old days moved earth and heaven, that which we are, we are. One equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will, to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield.